Bassoon Bridge in-house. I'm Pastor Nathan Strobel. Pastor Nate, privileged to be your host today for the Bridge and your message bringer. Coming at you a little bit late today. We're having some glitches with the technology, but hopefully we're all set to come at you here pretty quick with our praise band and with the message for the day. Highlighting for you, Sally Wellner and I are your hosts for the day. We also have either Jill or Sarah online and Facebook to interact with you, so feel free to interact with them online as well. Kids Club is still rolling along. They're into their third week, I believe, and growing numbers of kids. So if you'd still like to have your child in person, masks on, contact Dr. Nelson and he can set you up and get you set up with a classroom and a teacher. Coming up next Sunday, the 25th, is the next Awake and Alive conversation online, awakeandalive.com. The speaker will talk to us about capturing, taking every thought and capturing it for Christ, looking at 2 Corinthians 10, a great discussion on rethinking the narrative of life. Also, if you know of someone or if you yourself is still interested in hopping on board with studying God's Word and following God's promise from His heart before creation to the Garden of Eden, to the cross of Jesus, into our lives and forever, contact me at nstrobel@stpmuskego.org or text me and I can set you up and catch you up through videos on the classes and where we are at with following the promise. If you have been one who has been supporting the ministry of the Bridge at St. Paul's, or if you would like to start doing that, just go to stpaulsmuskego.org. There's directions there on how to give, both through texting, give through online, or the address to mail it in the old-fashioned way. Today we are in the third week of our sermon series entitled Unexpected. In the last 2 weeks, we looked at the question, is God unfair in His dealing with us? That would seem unexpected. Last week was, is God inconsistent as He deals with us? That would seem unexpected. Next week we look at, is God biased as He deals with us? That would be unexpected. Today we go with the thought, the question, is our God permissive? Is our God permissive? As we look at the gospel lesson for today, another one of Jesus' parables. Mike Westendorf is our worship leader with the band today, as I am your message bringer. We look forward to what the band offers us today, the words, or the titles of their songs on the screen for you. Blessings on our worship today. Thanks for joining us. And may God richly help us see that He is not permissive as much as He is patient. With those thoughts, I believe the band is ready to roll. I turn it over to Mike and to the band, to the glory of God. God's blessings on worship.
Morning, Bridge.
Morning.
Please don't tell me again, because the whole front row has been telling me this morning that it's snowing in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Three cheers for snow. Go Packers. Jesus reigns. Amen. All right. So those of you who are worshiping online with us, I know we've got friends who are in Washington, D.C. area. We got friends who are in Arizona, so it's snowing here, just so you know. But we would love to have you guys back in the house. Some of you are online wondering, is it safe for me to come? And we have a really good crew that's been putting together a good job of social distancing. And so there is still some space, whether it's in the bleachers or on the sides and in the wings. So you are welcome to come and join us again. And then there's overflow space in the cafe. So if you're like, man, I'd like to come in person, if you feel comfortable, there's space for you here. We're going to begin our time together with a new song. Well, not overly new, but it's a take on an old hymn. We're going to sing a refrain for you as we begin our time together. So I'll sing it once. you guys sing it again, and then we'll get into it.
Sounds like this.
Never failing, ruler of my heart, everlasting, lover of my soul, on the mountain high or in the valley low, the King of love, my shepherd is, the King of love, my shepherd is.
Isn't there some joy in that song? Just that little refrain. Can we try to sing that together? Never failing. Sing.
Never failing, ruler of my heart, everlasting, lover of my soul, on the mountain high, or in the valley low, the King of love, my shepherd is, the King of love, my shepherd is.
A lot of times when I have a chance to work with our singers, sometimes I'll ask Bethany, was there a song that you want to sing? And I had not heard this song before. You said, we sing this one. And I asked you why, and I appreciated the reason why you would give it. So why are we singing this song?
So I don't know about you, but I've been thinking a lot about change. There's a lot going on, a lot of things changing.
Yep.
Oh, but we have this God who never changes. And this song creates this familiar image of God as our shepherd. And sometimes lately I've felt like I'm on the rocky terrain, right? Not the green grass by the stream. But regardless of where we are, he's the same shepherd. He's always good. He's always faithful. And what doesn't change is our hope in him, our hope of heaven someday. So my hope is that this is a reminder to you.
Yeah, so Bethany shared that with me. I was like, oh, that's why we're singing. That's a good reason to be singing a song like this today. So let's stand. Good morning, Bridge. I know it's snowing, but can we try that just one more time so all the people could say and hear that too? Good morning, Bridge. Everybody take a look at the camera. There's just a little bit of a red light in the center right there. Everybody look at the camera and say good morning to all the people who are online with us as well. Good morning to all of you who are online with us. Hey, if you're in the comment section on YouTube or on Facebook, just let us know where you're worshiping from. We're going to sing the song, The King of Love.
The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am is mine forever, and he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth, and where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial breathing. Rejoicing brought me. In test I fail, I fear no ill. With these, your Lord beside me. Thy rod and staff, my comfort still. Thy cross before to guide me. Valley low, your house forever. Within your house forever.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us safely to this space and to this time of rest and Sabbath. Lord, we thank you for all that you have given us. We have breath in our lungs. We have blood in our veins. We have an awareness of the world around us. And Lord, it's in that awareness, Lord, that we have to come to you too to say that there's things broken in me and broken in my life, that I have failed. I have failed you and I have failed people around me in thoughts, words, and actions. So we just come before you, Lord, reflecting that we are so good and you bless us in so many ways, and kind of like the clouds and the rain and even the snow, there's disappointment, and I am a part of it. But Lord, I trust and we trust in what Jesus Christ has done, what your word says, what the gospel says, that we could do nothing, that you would have to do everything, and that you sent your son Jesus to do just that, his death on the cross. His blood poured out for us. His naming of every person for every sin that's ever been committed, you accomplished in your Son our salvation. And so, Lord, we come humbly before you to say, please forgive us. Have mercy on us. Mute the consequences from our actions, Lord, and help us to learn. Help us to learn to hear your voice. Help us to hear the King of love, the Shepherd, that we might be able to then go into a world that's broken, and that we may be able to bring that gospel hope and that restoration, that the healing that we are all longing for starts and ends with Jesus. Help us to know what that means in our day-to-day life. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. And we sing a familiar song. Oh, You may be seated.
What is our God like? Eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. These belong to God and to God alone. But in the parables of Jesus, He reveals characteristics that God designed for us to share in, qualities we reflect back to the world around us. He's gracious. Constant. Patient. Impartial. As we talk about what God is like and not like, may He give us the strength and wisdom to look, think, and act more like Jesus. May we, more and more, do the unexpected as we live out our relationships with others.
Do some things. There you go. Good morning, Bridge. Welcome to everyone. Welcome to those online with us. Welcome to you who are in-house with us. Let's catch us up a little bit. Mike got us there with the sermon bumper, but let's catch us up with where we're at, because the online people got that a little bit before. In our unexpected series, we're on the third week of four. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Pete challenged us to think about, is God unfair? Last week, is God inconsistent? And next week, it'll be, is God biased? And today, we ask the question and we think about, is God permissive? Is our God permissive? Okay, so unexpected. Let us begin our time together in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we get rolling today into our text, I want to have us think about a couple things to chew on, so put on your thinking caps, and also be ready to shout out some answers as we move into this introduction with this thought about, is our God permissive, the permissiveness of our God? Ready? Okay, so kind of a little bit of a quiz, get you thinking. All right, food for thought number one. Which statement on the screen is true? The patience of God is my salvation, or God's work in Jesus is my salvation. Which one is true? Someone be bold. Both. Right? Both are true. Now, I heard B. Not a bad answer, because some of us are perfectionists. There's got to be one, right? And there's no C, both, right? Which one is more true? Probably B. Not even probably. God's love in Jesus is my salvation, but A is also true. Okay? Food for thought number two. Jesus' words from John 14. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. What does that mean? Someone put it in your own words. If you love me, keep my commands. Someone brave, toss out your own version. Okay, you'll do what I ask. If you love, If you love me, you'll do what I ask, okay? So we bring in Ben and Rachel. Similar scenarios, Ben and Rachel. Ben has been a longtime church member. Ben is pretty regular in worship. Ben knows the commandments of God. Ben is intimate with his girlfriend and ignoring his conscience. Does Ben love Jesus? Yeah, good answer. Ooh. Yeah, wow. But it brings a question, right? Rachel. Rachel is a confirmed member of the church. She's in worship every Sunday, loves Jesus, loves his commands, loves his word that says, love one another as I have loved you. But Rachel's been hating on Amanda for the last 3 years. You see, Amanda stole her boyfriend, and I don't even want to go there. But every time that Rachel can, if you give her an opening, she will hate on Amanda. Does Rachel love Jesus? If you love me, keep my commands. So which statement is true? The patience of God is my salvation, or God's love in Jesus is my salvation? Well, both are true. And today we get to wrestle with the permissiveness of our God or the patience of our God. Let us hear the words of our text, the gospel assigned for today, from Matthew 21, 33 through 46. Jesus says this, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it on the right, and built a watchtower. Then he rented it to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time came, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit, his rent. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent them his son. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Jesus asked, therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Well, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they said, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you ever read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. The words of our God. Let's cut to the chase and just identify who the players are in this parable. The landowner is God the Father. The vineyard is the kingdom of God. God's working in the world his sway through his word to build his church, the kingdom of God. The vines are the people of the kingdom. The fruit are repentant hearts filled with faith and love for God. The tenants are the chief priests and the elders. The servants are the Old Testament prophets of God. And the Son, of course, is Jesus. What an amazing patience God the Father showed toward his Old Testament people, wouldn't you say? Some would say that God the Father's patience was bordering on permissiveness to a fault, allowing rebellious sin to go on to the point of killing generation after generation of his prophets. Of all the people on earth, God had chosen the people, the descendants of Abraham, to be his own people from whom would come the Savior of the world. And God had made a covenant, a two-way covenant with those people. He had said, I will be your God and you will be my people. It'll be awesome. To be the people of God is to have a heart of faith filled with love for God that spills over into our lives of faith, lived in joyful anticipation for Old Testament Israel of the coming Messiah, of the Savior, and for you and me, the return of the King, our Savior, Jesus. But over and over again, Israel turned its back on God. And focused its attention on the things and the temptations and the pleasures of this world, even to the point of worshiping idols made of wood and stone, and even to the point of sacrificing their children in the fire to false gods like Baal. Stage left appeared the prophets of God, calling the people to repentance and to refocus themselves on the coming Messiah. Stage right was the leaders of the Old Testament people who loved their sin, who loved their power and their sway among the people, and who persecuted the prophets over and over again, beating them and killing them to the silencing of their voice. Over and over, this persecution of the prophets to the point that some might say, wow, God is permissive. Where is the justice? God's permissiveness is almost ridiculous. Unexpected, the permissiveness of God. And truth be told, you have Jeremiah, who Jewish legend tells us was stoned to death by his own people in the land of Egypt after he had talked them through with the prophecies of God, talked them through the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. Jewish legend says that King Manasseh of Judah literally sawed Isaiah in two to shut his mouth. And what did God do? Through these very same prophets, he recommitted himself to love Israel and to send his son to save them from their sin. And we might think, wow, ridiculous, the permissiveness of our God. But God might say, oh, but maybe it is my patience. Ridiculous permissiveness. Don't we see it still in the kingdom of God today? There are people and there are teachers in the visible church of God that stand in the church of God and defy the commandments of God and the commands of God. People who say that Jesus and abortion go together, or that Jesus and alternative plans for marriage or no marriage go together, or that not all of the words of the Bible are true, even though Jesus says they are, or that Jesus is not necessarily the only way to heaven. He may be for you, he may be for you, but not necessarily for you, and we're all okay. Now, for those who love the unborn and who decry the confusing of our children when it comes to things like sex and gender, and who love the very words of God in Scripture that feed our faith, there may be times that we look up to heaven and we say, really, God, what does it take? What do you need to bring judgment down upon this world? Permissive, ridiculous permissiveness, God. Brothers and sisters, before we call down the fire of God on rebellion in the visible kingdom of God and upon the sins of this world, well, let us pause for a moment and remind ourselves that when we are pointing the finger away from ourselves at others, there are three pointing back at us, right? Wasn't it Jesus who reminded us to pause and pull the plank out of our own eye so that we can see clearly to address the speck of sin in our brother or sister's eye? Was there ever a time in your life when sin was your best friend? When sin, a sin, owned you. You knew it was wrong and you hung on to it. Ever a time when you looked at God and you said to your God, God, for the moment, get out of the vineyard. I'm not done with this sin yet, but hey, I'll see you in church. Was there ever a time when a friend in the vineyard, a fellow Christian, approached you in love and called you to account for your sin? And we and you and I did not listen and respond in faith, but instead we lashed out in ridicule and we said, who are you to be holier than thou? Who are you? I know your sin too. Who are you to judge me? Ridiculous permissiveness? Or as you and I look back, are we grateful for the patience of our God? Now, someone might say, well, hey, Pastor, you're being awfully picky with that word and that will of God, aren't you? I mean, our sins, and Pastor, you have them too. Our sins are small compared to throwing babies into the fire and killing the prophets. Really? Did all Adam and Eve do was eat a small piece of fruit in the garden? What was their sin in the garden? Did they not look their Creator in the eye and say to their Creator, God, for now, get out of your garden, get out of the vineyard, we'll invite you back in when we're done with this piece of fruit? Rebellion. Rebellion against our God is always sin. Because it's rebellion against the one who made us. And our sin always brings hurt into this world and into relationships, and so God must punish it. How prone are we to sinning? I can only answer for myself, very prone. The selfishness that brings hurt into this world, hurt into relationships. Maybe God is too permissive with me, too permissive with you. But aren't we glad to know that He is a God of grace? You know, God, through His prophet Isaiah, says, your ways are not my ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And that is a good thing, my friend, that God operates differently than us. Because God's permissiveness is what sets His agenda. Oh, that we could be as patient as our God with each other as He is with us. You and I are not wired in our sinfulness to love the way God did, self-sacrifice the way Jesus did. God in His grace and His unconditional love persevered in His plan to send His Son in spite of what He saw in Old Testament Israel. He persisted in the plan to send His Son. He persevered in His love that you and I might be saved. He invested heavily into His vineyard. with a love that has changed the world. John says this in his epistle, "We love because he first loved us. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." And then Peter says, "God is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And so God, in patient love, sent his Son. You see, God's ways are not our ways, nor are his thoughts our thoughts, and that is a good thing. Because God persisted in his love to save us through the work of his Son, and by his patience, he saved the world through Jesus and still forgives us when we fall into sin. Think of what Paul says in the book of Romans, the second chapter. He says, "Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience? Not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. God's kindness and patience with you and me is intended to lead us to repentance." Thank God his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But in the immediate context of Jesus' words, Jesus is addressing the elders and the chief priests of Israel. Remember what he said to them. He asked them, "When the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" And they jumped right on board and said, "Well, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end and give the vineyard to others who will give him his fruit at harvest time." "Have you never read in the scriptures," Jesus said, "the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. God's permissiveness, his patience, has its limit. That was Jesus' message. It has its limit, but God's patience lasts to the end. God's patience lasts to the end of a person's life. He will forgive to the end. God's patience lasts till the end of the world. He will forgive to the end of the world. And he will forgive until an individual calls it to an end. And when knowing who God is says, "God, no, I don't want you." It was that determined unbelief that Jesus was seeing in the leaders of the Jewish people. And out of love for them, he put a warning shot across the bow to get them to know and to think about what they were doing and plotting and planning. As Pastor Pete so wonderfully said last week, that God's grace speaks a message of justice to warn us, to call us back, to bring us to repentance, turning away from our sin, so that he can lavish us with his forgiveness. Jesus is that forgiveness, the cornerstone of God's kingdom, the foundation on which God builds his church, the forgiveness of you and me. And the cornerstone that guides the patience of our God to love and to forgive always. I know I have shared this story with you once before in my time at the bridge in St. Paul's, but I think it's worth sharing again. In 1983, I went on a mission trip to Florida. And I helped a congregation, a mission congregation down there, invite people to worship. And I'll never forget the day that I was going through a neighborhood knocking on doors, and a middle-aged man opened the door to his house, and he politely began to listen to my spiel. Hi, I'm Nathan Strobel. I'm from Wisconsin, a college student down here in Florida, just here to help Abiding Love Lutheran Church invite people to worship. And boom, he shut me off and said, hold on. I got to let you know, I know all about the Bible and Jesus dying for the sins of the world, but right now I don't have time for Jesus in my life. But I'll tell you, just to make you feel better, when I'm in an airplane someday flying over the ocean and the pilot comes on the intercom and says, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you've probably noticed we're having some mechanical problems. I need to let you know we have to prepare for an emergency water landing. He said, young man, at that point I'll drop down on my knees and I will ask God to forgive me for my sins, but right now I'm having too much fun. And as a 19-year-old, I did the best I could to share with him the heart of Jesus in this parable. That the patience of God is our salvation. But that the patience of God has its limits. That to hold God at arm's length, lest he get in the way of my living, is a dangerous place to stand. For to stand there by ourselves in our sin to face the owner of the vineyard is not where you or I want ourselves or anyone else to be. But by God's patience, through the work of his Son, he invites us every day to repent of our sin and to receive the forgiveness of Jesus our Savior, that we might stand with our Jesus in the vineyard of our Father in heaven. Pure and holy and righteous forever. So which statement is true? The patience of God is my salvation, or God's love in Jesus is my salvation? By God's grace, they're both true. By God's grace, B is more true. But by God's grace, some days A means a whole lot as I think about my sin and I think about my Jesus and in faith grab hold of him for time and for eternity. Praise be to our God that what some might call the permissiveness of our God is this wonderful patience, this wonderful grace through which he calls us home. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Great God in heaven, you are the God of the unexpected. You are the God who is not like us. You are holy and just. And you demand that we be holy and just too, because through holiness and justice is love. And with love, there is no hurt. With love, there is no selfishness. With love, there is no broken relationship. But because of our sin, we shattered our relationship with you, our Savior God. And in unconditional love, called grace and in great patience, you promised to send our Savior Jesus to walk into this world, to be our brother, to be our friend, and to love us in a way that some would say was permissive, but we know is so patient, as he walked to the cross as the world sinned against him, as he walked to the cross as the world killed him, but as he died, he prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then he rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death, and he tells us, I died for you. I died to forgive you. Trust in me for the forgiveness of sin, and I will take you to heaven to be with me, and I will walk with you on the journey between now and heaven. And when you fall, I will have great patience with you, and I will forgive you each and every time, and I will call you back to me, and I will inspire you to live for me. And I will help you see that my permissiveness is nothing but my patience. I want all to come to repentance and to be with me forever in heaven. So, Heavenly Father, help us to be like you in this world, filled with what is right, but most importantly, filled with patient love. When people sin against us, let us call them to repentance as, God willing, they call us to repentance. When they repent of their sin and ask us for forgiveness, let us forgive over and over and over again. Let us have great patience to the point of surprising ourselves at how like you we can become. Not permissive, but patient. Patient in calling out, patient in declaring forgiveness, patient in sharing the heart of Jesus. Lord God in heaven, thank you for going with us on the journey of these last weeks. Thank you for going with us on the journey yet into next week as we ponder your bias. But help us know always that no matter how we see you as acting unexpectedly or treating us unexpectedly or treating our world unexpectedly, help us always know that the constant is your grace. The constant is your love, and the constant is your patience. May your patience be our salvation as you always call us back to you. And may your work in Jesus be the foundation of our salvation because Jesus died to forgive us that we might live. So thank you for walking with us this day. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and thank you for your patience to each and every one of us and to your world. And now, Heavenly Father, we join together the prayer that your Son taught us to pray. We ask that in his blood and by his name you would receive it with great patience and hear our prayer and answer it to his glory and our joy. Together we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
I will wait for you, I will wait for you. Your word I will rely. I will wait for you, surely wait for you, till my soul is satisfied. Depths I cry to you. In darkest places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew and hear my cry for mercy, Lord.
Were you to count
Christ emerging from the grave.
come to make a way, and God himself has paid the price, that all who trust in him today find healing.
I know it's maybe a little muted through masks and stuff, and maybe some of us don't feel comfortable singing yet, and that's okay. But from our heart, will you just join in this refrain?
I will wait for you.
I will wait for you through the storm and through the night. I will wait for you, surely wait for you.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
You know, Mike, sometimes as a preacher, you get a text, and that was a weighty text, a lot of law in that text. And my prayer for you is that I, as the spokesperson for God today, brought enough gospel to you, that we walk away today basking in the forgiveness of our Jesus as we know our personal sin. So I don't know, I just have felt a weightiness on myself after being done preaching. So my prayer is that I brought enough gospel to you today, that we know that we are free in Jesus even as we ponder our sin. So those thoughts, we have a few announcements for you. If we can go to the announcement slides. If you are still interested in doing some Bible study, getting into the Word of God, learning more about the promise of our Savior Jesus from before the creation of time to the halls of heaven, I'm doing Following the Promise into the third week, and still catch you up with video, but there'll be other classes down the road online for the foreseeable future, apparently, as God works in our world. Also, to let you know that next Sunday, October 25th, is the next Awaken Alive conversation online around the Word of God. And Amber Swenson is coming on board on that night to talk with 18 to 25-year-olds about changing the narrative in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives as we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So if you know an 18 to 25-year-old that is searching and wondering about how God fits into their lives, send them to awakenalive.com. Also, if you are one who has been giving or would like to start giving to the ministry at the Bridge in St. Paul's, go to stpaulmuskego.org/give. Plenty of ways shared there, how to text to give, give through the website, or the old-fashioned way, mailing it in as well. Last slide, please. I don't know if I got this off, that's why. All right, the four songs that our band did today, and we closed with God's Great Dance Floor. May the gospel...
Well, you know, we were having all those tech issues and stuff like that, and you put such a nice plug for the other one that we had chosen. So we decided that we would change it to You Made a Place for Me, which is...
Good. Awesome.
Oh, by the way, Pastor Nate, we just wanted to let you know, because we had tech changes and we weren't sure if God's Great Dance Floor was going to fly with no, you know, sound system, we thought that we would better just go with that.
Okay.
If people really want us to play it, we'll play it like after we do the other one and we send everybody out.
All right, beautiful. If you want God's Great Dance Floor, thumbs up, shout of approval. Okay, so both.
Okay, we're going to do both.
It's
all
an
right.
Encore.
All right, we'll do an encore song today.
All right, let us close with the blessing of our God and then the band can sing us home. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord look on us with his favor and give us his peace. And God's people say, amen.
Let's stand and we'll sing this song together. This is a song about what it means to be safe and at home. Song we've been singing here at the Bridge for the last couple of years, and we wrote as a team, part of a worship series on the Family Church. And if you're not, when you go home, if it's not a safe place, we do pray that the church is a safe place for you, where you can hear just how much you are loved. And this song is meant to reflect that and encourage us to be that safe place for other people as well. Lyrics are on the screen. Many of you know it. Let's sing together. From before time began, by your design and hand, the author of life gave breath to me. Formed in the secret place, you smiled upon my face. You called me your child. What a mystery. And it's all because of grace. You made a place for me. You opened up my eyes to see the wonders of my Father's love. And from eternity, placed me in a family with all the saints bought by the Savior's blood. You made a place for
place for me.
Amen. So God be with you guys. We're going to play you out with a song that we love playing here. And if you're still online with us and whatnot, I would love for you guys to just take some video behind this song, God's Great Dance Floor. Pastor had mentioned it that you know, sometimes it's this heavy text where you're reminded of both God's patience, but that this patience has an end. And that's why God's calling us to repentance. And this song is based on the prodigal son. And there comes a point in the story, prodigal son. It's really the lavish father is what it really is. And Dave, if you go to that next slide, just so you understand the context, because if you've never heard this song before, this was from the parable that Jesus told that we had to celebrate. Can we say this together? That this is us being forgiven. So let's say this together. We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And that's really the hope that we have. So when he comes close to the house, he hears music and dancing. The older brother hears this because a party's going on, because one who is lost is found. And so if you'd like to stay and sing this with us, we'd love to have you. If you've got kids who are dancing around at home, we'd love to get your video of that. Push it up to Facebook. We'd be like, great to see it. Yeah, we already got the clappers going. All right.
Feel alive.
Amen. May God bless you guys as you go and be the light to the world. We'll see you again here next week.
Never fail.